Let's turn now to Scripture, to the Gospel according to John, to what is actually my favorite introduction to Jesus. Listen for the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Years ago, there was a Jesuit theologian who lived in India named Father Samuel Rayen, and he wrote A Little Thought on Candlelight. Like some great phrases throughout history, his words wound their way around the globe, bringing a note of truth to situations of dire circumstance in different nations, towns, times, and lives. His words were used as a mantra during the apartheid struggle of South Africa. They are again being used today in response to violence against protesters in the Arab Spring. In this age of violent upheaval, his words retain a powerful truth. All he said was this: a candlelight is a protest at midnight. It is a nonconformist. A candle says to the darkness, "I beg to differ." Father Rayen was right. No wonder Christ is often spoken of as a light, and the Christ candle is a central symbol of our worship. Christ's very presence says to the darkness of the world, "I beg to differ." So tonight, one year ends and another one begins. Our calendar is a somewhat arbitrary marking of time, but it allows us to take stock, to reflect on the year past, and to take hopeful steps into the future. So on this night, instead of a traditional sermon, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to offer up to God together a meditation of appreciation, of acknowledgement for all the ways God's light continues to permeate the world. This will be a bit of an experience in extended communal prayer. Don't worry, you don't have to close your eyes if you don't want to, but feel free to do so if that helps you. If you'd rather sit on the floor or stand or find an empty pew and lay down for a little bit, go for it. We will light candles tonight, candles of hope and joy, love and peace for places and people in dark spaces. And we will light candles of thanks for the grace and beauty of the world. After each, we'll take a moment of silence to pray and reflect. And then afterwards, if you have any person, place, joy, or concern which you'd like to give voice, I'll invite you to come forward and do so at that time. So now make yourselves comfortable and please join with me in prayer. Loving God, we give you thanks for beauty, for music that speaks across language, for art that transcends time, for words that speak to those things we all share in common. We hear you and see you in these gifts and know that your light shines on. For all the things the church can be and is, we pray. For opulent spaces dripping in gold while your people go hungry, we pray that you might guide our decisions so that our giving reflects your light. We lift up those for whom the church holds dark secrets of untold pain, and we give thanks for the church as a sanctuary to so many. We lift up mission work of great risk and reward, and for small acts of generosity that can change a day or a life. For places where we can come and be ourselves, where we can learn to walk closer to your path. Let your light pour out from the windows and doors of your church, so that we might indeed be a beacon in the world, a lighthouse guiding those who are lost back home. We pray for the homeless, for addicts, for the oppressed, for women, for the LGBTQ community, for the marginalized and minimized and silenced of every time and place who seek to find God in a church home. And for the times they are welcomed, we give thanks. For those who are told they are imperfect or unworthy because of who they are or where they are from. For those who suffer every time God is personified as only male. For those who associate church with hurt or hate, we pray for mercy. Forgiveness for the times the church family has failed to include, and we pray for second chances and brighter tomorrows. For the times that all are met with thoughtful inclusion, we celebrate. For justice and all that it can be and is, for those who bravely seek freedom, who lay down their lives for the freedom of others. For those who seek truth in spite of unpopularity or danger or hatred. For those who give voice to the voiceless, who use their power guided by your wisdom. For faith, hope, and love. For the resiliency of the human spirit in places of loud dissent and places of quiet torment. For those who believe in spite of the odds. For those who love when love seems impossible and makes no sense, and yet they persist. And now, consider those places and people on which you most wish for the light to shine, or those circumstances in which you have seen God's light and are thankful for it. Where is it that you want that light to go? Where have you seen it best? I'd like to invite any who wish to give voice to prayers, big or small, personal or global, to come forward and share.
Prayer of thanksgiving for the life of Ralph Corey, and a prayer of comfort for his wife Diane and his daughters Rachel and Kristen and all of the family and his son-in-laws.
Prayers for my sister Nancy, who had a massive stroke and is on a ventilator in North Carolina, and who will probably be taken off the ventilator tomorrow. And also prayers for her daughter, Lori, and for my wife, Susan, who will be soon undergoing breast surgery.
Shine your light, O God, into all broken hearts. Hearts that are broken because of pain, hearts that are having heart attacks. For Chuck's heart, and for my brother Dan's heart, and for the broken hearts of all who care for them. Shine your light.
Prayers of gratitude for friends who understand. Prayers for our friend Carrie and her husband and two little kids as she fights for her life. And prayers for all who walk in the darkness and seek the light.
Thank you to the church family of mine for all the support that you have given to me and to my wife. Thank you very much.
Prayers for my sister-in-law, Sue, who's in the last days of her life, and for comfort and peace for her and her family, and prayers of gratitude for love and encouragement and support from friends.
For our boys overseas and the Bryan family.
Prayers for my sisters, one who is pregnant and due at the end of May, and the other who just had a miscarriage.
For all who have borne witness to the light in this last year by their words, with their wisdom, with their courage, with their sacrifice, their friendship, and their silence, with their laughter in countless ways, and for the opportunities we all have to do the same in the year to come.
The light of God came into the world, and try as it might, the darkness cannot overcome it. This light, a promise of God's eternal commitment, resides in each of us. And it is this divine spark that we can share with the world. Carry with you this bright vision and go forth, continuing to be bearers of light in the world. Amen.
I invite you to join me in ever so softly singing This Little Light of Mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Invite our ushers to come forward to receive our offering. Pray with me. Gracious God, receive not only the gifts we put in these plates, but receive the gift of this past year with all of its wonders and joys, with all of its failures and shortcomings, with all of its holiness in each and every moment. And accept also our offering of the year to come as we lift it up before you and ask you to bless the months, the weeks, the days, the minutes of our lives and the lives of all with whom we share this world. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you. As we look back, not just at 2011, but upon all the years past, and as we look forward, not only into 2012, but into all the years to come, we're reminded that the God who made us holds all our times, all our seasons, all of our years in his hands. And we are reminded, too, that this table, the table of the Lord, is one at which we break bread with one another, but also in some mystical way beyond the power to comprehend, really. We break bread with all those who have gathered at tables like this one in centuries past, and all those who will gather one day, because God lives beyond time. And so our Savior invites you now, all of you, whether members of this congregation or not, our Savior invites you to share in the supper, to share in the bread and the cup that are the sign and the seal of the grace and the mercy and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Most wonderful and gracious God, we give you thanks that in the beginning you created light, pushing back all the darkness and chaos of that time. We give you thanks that you have been the light of the world in so many ways through all the years of your love being shown. And we give you special thanks this night for the light of the world who came as a baby in Bethlehem, who taught and healed, who spoke your truth, showed your love, and who died and arose again for us. As you have been light in our lives, each one in the past year, Lord, we ask that you go before us with the light of the world, that we may follow in the path that you would have us go and show your truth and be your light. So, Lord, may the nourishment of our souls, our spirits, we find in this sacrament feed us deeply and make us strong as individuals and as your congregation here in this place, that all we do may be for your glory and show our love for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather and in whose name we pray. Amen. On the night when Jesus was to be arrested, betrayed, he prepared his disciples by gathering them in an upper room and speaking to them words of amazing, wonderful, memorable truth. Before they ate, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is a cup of a new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it." We'll receive the sacrament this night a little differently. I'm going to invite all of you to come gather around the Lord's table in a circle, and we will serve one another. I'm going to ask this side of the congregation to come forward first, except for the last two pews, and then afterwards then we'll have this side and the last two pews come forward to gather in a circle to serve one another with the bread of life. If it's difficult for you to come forward, you're welcome to take the arm of a fellow worshiper on the steps, or we will serve you in the pews where you're seated. All is prepared. Let us keep the feast.